This morning we invite you to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Welcome. We'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We'll be reading the first 10 verses, or actually the 10 verses which make up out of the first chapter. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. This morning we want to continue on with that of our study of 1 Thessalonians. In our studies thus far, we have considered the first five verses of this chapter. And in those five verses, we have observed the author and his associates of the letter here. And we've observed the recipient. We've observed that of the greeting and the thanksgiving. All of those items are found in the first five verses. Now, Paul is the author of the book. Silvanus and Timotheus, they are the associates. The recipient is that of the church of Thessalonica. And the greeting is, grace be unto you and peace. And then he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, that statement that Paul pins there is the main focus statement of that of the passage here. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Remembering without ceasing your faith, work of faith, your labor of love, your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is telling these dear folks that make up that of the assembly of Thessalonica, he says, we thank God for you. And we make mention of you in our prayers. We give thanks by means of that of our prayer unto God for you. And then he goes on then, beginning with verse number 4, to list that of what they are thankful for with regards to that of the Thessalonians. And you note in verse number 4, he writes, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Now, Paul here, as he writes to the saints here at Thessalonica, he says, we thank God for you all, and we thank God knowing that of your election of God. Now, last week we covered verse number 4, and of course, election is a doctrine that is one that is very much hated in that of our day, and yet it is that of a doctrine or a teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Paul said, with regards to the Thessalonians, we know your election. We know that you are the chosen of God. Now, how did Paul and his associates know that the Thessalonians were the chosen of God? Well, he goes on to tell us, beginning with verse 5. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Paul tells these dear folks, he says, we know your election because when we came to the city of Thessalonica and we preached the gospel, it came not just in word only, or in that of mere words. No, it came with that of power. And it was evident in that of the preaching of the gospel. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." And so Paul basically tells them, you know, we know you're the elect of God because as the gospel came to you, it came in power. Its manifestation was made known in that of your midst. In verses 6 and 7, where we want to pick up this morning, Paul goes on to tell or to give another reason why he knew that they were the chosen of God. In verse number 6, he says, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." The title of our message is, "Ye became followers of us and the Lord." Now, I'd like for us to consider how this took place. Paul writes of the Thessalonians here that they became followers and examples to all who believe. How did this take place? What did it look like there in the city of Thessalonica when this took place? Well, first of all, we would say to you, with regards to that, the first question, how did this take place? How did this come about? You note in the very first part of verse 6, Paul writes, "And ye became followers of us." Now, it's very important that we see that there is a connection here between that of verse number 6 and verse number 5. And you'll note that there is a conjunction here at the beginning of verse number 6. That conjunction is "and." It connects that of what Paul writes there then in verse 6 with that of previously what he has already stated. Going back to verse 4, he says, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." The connecting conjunction here refers us back to that of what Paul writes of there. And what does he write about? He writes of knowing their election, that is the Thessalonians, and that it was through that of the gospel coming unto them. The gospel being proclaimed. He says, "Our gospel came not unto you in word only." No, it came in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. It was that was a powerful manifestation of the Spirit of God taking the Word of God and making a difference in your all's life. But you know, at the very end of chapter or verse number 5, he makes this statement: "As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Not only did the word or the gospel come in its power to that of these Thessalonians, and it was made manifest in that of their life, it didn't come just in word only. It came in power. But it also came in that of the lives of Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. He says, "As you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Paul here, as he writes to the Thessalonians here in this verse, he is speaking of how the gospel came unto that of the Thessalonians, and it came via that of a messenger. It came via that of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God, taking that message and powerfully working in the lives of these individuals. But it didn't stop there. No, beloved, these ones who heard the message, they also saw the message in the life of that of these missionaries. These missionaries, they had come to the city of Thessalonica. And as they came to the city of Thessalonica, they came to the synagogue and they declared the message of Christ, the anointed of God, that of his, how that he needed to die and to be buried and to be risen again from the grave. They came to the city of Thessalonica. It wasn't by chance, beloved, that they came. No, beloved, it was all according to that of God's eternal plan. Not only did the gospel come, the gospel was proclaimed, the gospel was received. We're answering the question, how did this take place? That is, these Thessalonians became that of followers and that of an example to all who believe. How did this happen? It came, or it happened through that of the proclamation of the gospel. It happened, beloved, when these Thessalonians heard the message and they received it. They received it. You note in verse 5, he says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Now there are several things that we would draw your attention to here in the statement that is made here. You'll note he says that they became followers of us and of you became followers of us and of our Lord, having received the word. Having received the word. Now, what word? What word was Paul speaking of? He's speaking of that of the gospel. The gospel back in verse number 6 that he spoke of that came unto the Thessalonians. He says, "Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word," or that is, the gospel message. Now, the word received here, It has the idea of receiving or taking in that of an object or that of a person. It even has that of the idea of that of hospitality. How one would receive someone in to that of their home and be that of a hospitable person. The Thessalonians, they received the word. And the idea here is that they received it warmly. They embraced that of the gospel message. Now, if you remember the account over in Acts chapter 17, that when Paul and Silas and Timothy, when they arrived at Thessalonica, they went to the synagogue, which was the norm for that of Paul. He would go to the synagogue, and it would be there that he would get an opportunity to preach the gospel. And he and his associates, they entered into that of the city of Thessalonica, and they went to the synagogue, and were told that for three Sabbath days they reasoned in the scriptures with that of the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, there were some who believed, were told there in that passage, but there were others who did not believe, who were the ones that believed? The Thessalonians here that Paul is writing back to. They received the word. They received the gospel. They warmly embraced that of the message. And they did so by faith. They did it by faith. If you note back up in verse number 2, Paul writes, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in prayer, in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father." Note what Paul remembered. He remembered that of their work of faith. Their work of faith. Now, faith is a gift of God. So, it's not difficult here when we read here that Paul speaks of that of the work of faith of the Thessalonians. Because you see, faith is a gift of God, but we know from James, faith, real faith, has works. It has works. Faith without works is dead, James tells us. These Thessalonians, they embraced that of the gospel, and it wasn't just that they merely said that they believed the message. No, it came out in that of their life. It was manifested in their life. They were changed. They were changed, and we'll touch on that in just a minute. But I want to stop here for a few moments and just say to you that if you're a child of God here today, there was a point in time that the gospel came to you. You heard the gospel message proclaimed. It was a result of someone that God moved upon to bring into that of your life, that you might hear the gospel. And when you heard the gospel, you embraced it. You believed it. I thought Don would maybe get on my message this morning as he was talking about that of faith earlier. When we think of that of believing the gospel, there is that of the facts of the gospel. One may say they believe the facts of the gospel and yet not really be one who has actually embraced it. They may say, I believe the facts of it, but they haven't embraced it for themselves. They believe the facts, but they haven't given themselves over into that of trusting in that of the message itself. I believe Paul puts it the best way when he writes in 2 Timothy. He says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded, or I am convinced that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In that statement of the Apostle Paul, beloved, we have that of the elements of that of true saving faith. We have that of faith or belief about that of the facts. We have that of trust. That of conviction that the message is true. And the committal of that of oneself unto that message. That is exactly what took place with that of the Thessalonians, beloved. They heard the facts when the gospel was preached. But they didn't just only hear it and merely believe the facts. No, they embraced it. They took it for themselves. They took it for themselves that yes, Jesus died upon the cross. That he died there for that of my sin. That he paid that of my sin debt. And that he was buried and that he arose again. And because of his death upon the cross, we have that blessed hope. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. They welcomed that of the gospel. But we would draw your attention to that of the atmosphere in which they received the gospel. It says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. Now, if you go back to Acts chapter 17, you find that there was a great uproar in the city of Thessalonica. The great uproar was over that of the proclamation of the gospel and those who became believers of that message. The ones who didn't believe, they stirred up the people. Scriptures tells us. They even went on down to that of Berea where Paul and Silas went because of that of the opposition when they heard that they had gone there. And they went down to even to the city of Berea and stirred up the people. The Thessalonians, they welcomed, they warmly received the gospel. And in spite of that of the uproar, beloved, they persevered. They continued to believe that of the message that had been proclaimed. Ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. In other words, they received it with that of joy. The Spirit of God working in their life caused them to rejoice at that of the message, even in spite of that of the opposition, the uproar that was going on in the city. You note it says you became followers. The word became is what I want to draw your attention to. The word became here speaks of a change which took place. And that change was in that of the Thessalonians. It was that of God working in their life. And the evidence, he says, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Now the word follower there means imitator. They became imitators of Paul and his associates and of the Lord. And you might think it's strange the way that Paul penned this. But in actuality, this is the way it does take place, beloved. Is it not? One hears the gospel. And having heard the gospel, they embrace it. And they become imitators. They become imitators of those who have preached the gospel unto them. The gospel was preached to you. And if you embraced it, you came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that individual who preached the gospel unto you, that preacher that proclaimed the gospel unto you, he was that of an example unto you. His life was an example unto you. And you begin to follow. Follow that of that which he was teaching. But ultimately, you came to realization that the ultimate one to follow was that of the Lord himself. Paul told the church at Corinth, be followers of me as I follow the Lord. Be imitators of me as I imitate the Lord. And beloved, that is the way it ought to be. That's the reason why those who are ministers of the gospel, they need to be very careful with that of their life. Ye became followers of us, Paul said, first of all. And then he goes on to say, of the Lord. Of the Lord. The order, followers of Paul and his associates, and then the Lord. Then the Lord. And what did this look like? We've been talking about how it happened. What did this look like in that of the lives of these individuals? As we already said, the word follower means imitator. Imitator. They imitated that of Paul as he followed the Lord. They followed in that of his teachings. As he followed the Lord. And then you'll note in verse number 6, Paul writes, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." Beloved, what we see in that of the Apostle Paul and his associates becomes a reality in that of the lives of the Thessalonians. Just as Paul and his associates were followers of the Lord, these Thessalonians, they became followers of the Lord, and likewise that of examples to others. Examples to others. He says, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That word example, the idea there is that of a pattern. Or that of a model. These Thessalonians, they were a model unto others who believed. Just like Paul and his associates had been that of an example or a model to that of the Thessalonians. As we close this morning, I'd like to make this practical. Have you heard the gospel? Have you heard the gospel? Has the gospel come to you in power and not just word only? Have you embraced that as a gospel message? The truth that Christ is the only Savior, that He is the only deliverer. Are you trusting in Him? And then if you are, are you following Him? Are you following in that of His footsteps? And are you an example, just like these Thessalonians were in that of their day? All right, we want to have the closing hymn. Let us stand. And like last week, we'll sing an old hymn that we all know by heart, I'm sure. Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Father, we know this is your work, and we thank you for it and praise you for it. Father, we do pray that the gospel will go to the ends of the earth and help us to be a part of that, and help us to be faithful witnesses of the good news of all that Christ has accomplished. Lord, do bless this body here, each one that has attended this morning. May thy Holy Spirit be our teacher, and may he be pleased to give us all the things of Christ Jesus. Lord, bless the gospel, bless it to our family, and then, Lord, to the ends of the earth. And Father, as we part now, may we go with thy blessing, and may we go with the fellowship throughout this coming week. We pray all this in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus.